Veritasium is a science video blog which aims to present topics in all areas of science, from the simplest to the most complex. The goal is to make scientific ideas clear, accessible, and interesting. For this interview, we'll find out more about the methodology of Veritasium, as well as why he thinks Khan Academy of Videos might not work as well as you might think. Always interesting to discover views about education and how we can improve.
How would you describe chemistry?
Like test tubes?
I'm not a very big science fan, so I don't really know any much about it.
No idea. Chemistry.
I would say some sort of
breathing, what's that table, and you know, the table there.
Elements?
You know what's been popular, Rod?
What's that?
Our Slinky Drop video.
That is popular, isn't it?
Yeah, do you want to do another Slinky Drop?
That's not a Slinky. This is a Slinky.
That is an excellent Slinky. We should drop that one.
Why does the Earth spin? Why does it turn like that?
I think it's the gravity, right? For it to keep us down on the ground. Is that right?
Gravitational pull.
Well, how does that cause the Earth to spin?
Again, my basic science fails. It's failed. Gravity, he guesses, you know, looking...
Gravity. Cool. Yeah, gravity.
I'm talking to Dr. Derek Muller now. Is that the correct way to say it?
Yep, that's correct.
Fantastic. I'm talking to Dr. Derek Muller, who is a graduate of the University of Sydney, and he is the brains behind a video series called Veritasium. Now, I think that's how you say it, and I was a little worried because I saw the name and I thought, isn't that a truth potion in the Harry Potter series? Yeah.
Yeah, no, I get that a lot, and I guess it shows my ignorance to Harry Potter, because had I known... would have approached that name with more trepidation, but I didn't know anything about Harry Potter, so I just went for it.
Brilliant. So how did it come to be?
I guess I was working, I was teaching a bit, high school students, mm-hmm. and I've always had an interest in sort of the public understanding of science, public awareness of science, and I just thought I would like to reach a wider audience than the students that I teach, and I'd like to get out there and be creative. And I also wanted to make science beautiful. I thought that I could bring an aesthetic element to it that you know, a lot of science teachers don't necessarily focus on. So, you know, try to make it attractive, appealing, perhaps musical, dramatic, you know, aspects that you don't normally associate with science.
Now, apparently you're an Australian, but that's a Canadian accent you've got there.
Yeah, my background is somewhat confusing, but I was born in a small town called Traralgon in Victoria. Uh-huh. I grew up in Vancouver, Canada. I did my undergraduate in Eastern Canada, and then I came back to Australia for my PhD, and I've been here for 7.5 years. But that accent doesn't really go away, so...
That's okay. It sounds very exotic and very interesting. So what came first, the PhD or the video series?
Do I understand you correctly? I did the PhD first, but I was making videos before the PhD and actually during the PhD. The focus of the PhD was on designing effective multimedia for science education, for physics education. So in the PhD, it was sort of a 3-year study of how does one really make a good video that people can learn from. It flows in nicely, even though it wasn't that planned out at the beginning. It flows in nicely into what I'm doing now. You know, having looked really in depth at, you know, how do you make something that will actually get people to learn.
You did one video, which was the one that caught my eye first off, interestingly enough, which was on science videos, and it was a critical analysis of science videos in themselves and whether or not they make meaningful learning experiences. How well are these videos received in regards to looking at these kinds of topics? Has it changed any people's views about how to teach science through online film?
Well, I think that a lot of people in the science education community already acknowledge that direct presentations are generally fairly ineffective. Mm-hmm. But I'm hesitant to say that a one-way presentation is effective, ineffective, full stop, because I feel like we're exposed to a lot of one-way presentations in our lives, and we do manage to deal with them, in a lot of cases, extremely well. So You know, I wanted to focus on what particular elements are there in science that make the presentation seemingly so ineffective. And I saw that in my own research. You know, I would show students a pretty clear video, nicely explained with diagrams, animations, you know, everything. And they just weren't getting anything out of it. And yet they thought they were getting something out of it. And that, I found, was a very strange idea. And it seemed to boil down to this idea that a lot of people have these misconceptions about scientific concepts. And unless those are explicitly presented, it's easy to sort of skim over the surface and never confront those ideas, never change those ideas. So it seemed to me that that's what a video needs to do. A video needs to target those things that people are already thinking. And that's what I try to do in my videos by, you know, for example, asking people on the street about what they think. That also helps me sort of guide the explanation process if I know what people are thinking first off.
I quite like the vox pops that you do about misconceptions and trying to encourage mental efforts to reflect upon science. Do people enjoy being a part of your films?
I hope so. I've never had anyone, you know, have a really negative experience, but sometimes they're a bit wary, and I think rightly so. You know, you just approach people on the street. I mean, generally people are very receptive, and but, you know, you say, oh, I want to talk about science. People get a little bit squeamish, but normally they're happy to go along with it. And if anyone was ever, you know, unhappy with the film that we did, I wouldn't use it. So, yeah, people have been happy to be involved in general.
It's interesting how the first one that you did, which was how long does it take for the Earth to go around the sun, how it very much reflected the, I think it was about 30% of Australians who apparently have difficulty trying to figure out how long it takes.
Yeah, well, 30% seem to think it takes a day. That was the report of that study that was representative sample of 1,500 Australians.
Do you think things have improved since then?
I doubt it, you know. Yeah. I think it's a glacial process, this transformation into a scientifically literate society. But I'm hoping that, you know, we'll move along the right track if there's more people, you know, like me out there and like you who are, you know, spreading that message and that knowledge. Hopefully we'll get there one day.
Do you think it's difficult to reach beyond those who already check out science videos for fun? I mean, I do that just for the joy of it. Whilst working, I might flip through a few YouTube videos and see what's out there, encourage some things to go viral. What do you think are some of the keys to making a science video popular?
Geez, that's tricky. If I knew that, it'd be a lot more popular than it is. You know, the things that have been the biggest for me have been things that I haven't expected to be that big.
Yeah.
You know, the slinky drop was my biggest video, showing that slow motion falling of a slinky. When I saw it the first time, because it was actually on this Professor Rod Cross's website, when I saw it, I thought, wow, that's remarkable, and that's not at all what I would expect. I guess that's a good rule of thumb. You know, anything that I think is unexpected, other people will also think is unexpected and they get excited by it.
What sort of things would you like to film in future? Have you got any big goals? I mean, you've interviewed a Nobel Prize winning scientist. I thought that was pretty fantastic in itself.
Yeah, that was an exciting scoop. I'm not sure what's coming next down the pipe. I mean, I've got all these ideas. I mean, one of the big ones that I'm excited about, which I've been sort of working on for a number of months, is a duet between two atoms, which is about atomic bonding. Mm-hmm. And the song I'm using is a duet, a big love song from Miss Saigon. So, yeah, I'm writing this thing and I'm very excited about it. And, you know, I want to dress up as atoms and I want to kind of do it in a Glee style. So, I don't know. There's something about the music videos that I really enjoy doing. I'm not sure that my audience enjoys them as much as I do. But sort of I feel like maybe that is hitting on that point that you asked about, you know, how do you get people who aren't normally looking for science videos, how do you get them into it? Mm. And I found, you know, my housemates have been very receptive to the songs, and, you know, there's certain pockets of people that I know who really like the songs, and then there's other people who think the songs are terrible. So it's tough to please everyone, but I guess fundamentally I want to, you know, progress in my own development, and I feel like, you know, these challenges that I set for myself are good ones.
Mm. What would you suggest for anyone who might be thinking of starting their own science video series or perhaps, what would be some factors to think of before they begin?
Into a science series?
Yeah.
I guess you need to acknowledge the fact that it's going to take a while. It's going to take time. And keys, I think, to success on YouTube are, you know, consistency and really, you know, not giving up, you know, making just, I mean, my approach was not necessarily from the beginning that it was going to be big or that it was going to be watched by a lot of people, but that I was going to use it and I was going to sort of track my own improvement. And I was really committed to doing it for a good while. And I kind of removed other things from my life. You know, the amount that I was working, I reduced that a lot so that I could have much more time to focus on doing this. Maybe that's not essential for everyone, but I guess you need to be able to find the time to do what you want to do and I guess just keep at it and just keep going. But the key is always, I guess, to get started, because if you don't, you know, make that first video, you're never going to make the second one. And so it's just kind of a matter of jumping in, you know, even though now I look back at some of the early things and I think, oh, that was, you know, a little bit juvenile and it's, you know, production values and things like that. You know, you got to start somewhere and you can just build from there. And for me, as I said, I focus more on the process than on outcomes.
And you seem to enjoy it as you go through it all. I mean, I've had a few laughs while watching the series. I found them quite enjoyable.
Well, I'm glad you've enjoyed it. yeah, you know, there's constantly that sort of tension between, you know, trying to make something funny or, you know, more interesting and also maintaining the sort of scientific integrity or the rigor so that, you know, someone who knows about the science is not going to turn their nose up at it. So
yeah.
It's a balancing act, and I'm enjoying, you know, trying to find that balance and, you know, finding things that people are interested in and approaching them in new ways. I kind of, in my head, I'm planning a whole series of people kind of dressed in atom suits and talking about chemical interactions. And so that there was a lot of chemistry that I wanted to do up front that I haven't done. You know, initially I kind of wanted Veritasium to be well sequenced so you could go from episode 1 to episode 2 to episode 3 and it would just kind of feed into this big long story, which was the history of everything, you know, scientifically in the universe.
Wow.
But that has proved to be too difficult a goal, I think. And, you know, I've just got waylaid. If something seems interesting to me, I'll do a piece on that. If, you know, something else seems interesting, I'll do that. You know, recently I was driving down in Victoria and I saw some koalas. So I'm planning a little video about koalas just mainly for overseas viewers. And I was looking at the 12 apostles and thinking about the coastline paradox. So I've got a little bit on that probably coming up. So I don't know, whatever I'm around, I just seem to, you know, make a video about that.
Yeah, inspiration is everywhere.
That's for sure.
Wonderful. Thank you very much for talking to me, Derek.
No, it's my pleasure.